Well, today we come into the presence of our Heavenly Father to thank Him for what He did in Bethlehem and what He's done in our hearts. We're going to worship Him with all of our being today, and today we light three candles of the Advent wreath. So let us now turn our attention to His Word, and let us prepare ourselves to worship Him.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
Our Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 40, 1 through 11. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, 'In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God.' Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, 'Cry out.' And I said, 'What shall I cry?' All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, 'Here is your God.' See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Our scripture reading from the New Testament is John 10, verses 1 through 18. "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father.
Father, we do thank you for this place to come and to hear the words that you have prepared through your servant. Open our eyes and our hearts that we might follow your will. For we ask these things in your name. Amen. Please be seated.
It was my first trip to the Holy Land. And our bus was rolling along a road when suddenly it slowed down and all the people in the bus jumped up with their cameras over to one side. And I couldn't see what they could see. I wondered, what is it? So I stood up and I looked out the window and then I saw him. My first authentic shepherd. In a grassy field, complete with some rocks and a whole lot of sheep. And he saw us, and he knew he was the center of attention. So he came scurrying over to the side of the bus, and he took out a flute. It looked like a recorder, a wooden recorder. And he started playing, do-do-do-do-do-do. And he started dancing, and he was dancing all around the bus and playing the flute. And the cameras were, it was a Kodak moment. I had never seen a shepherd before, except in Rockingham. It was in the First Presbyterian Church of the Frozen Chosen in Rockingham at Christmas, and the shepherds were wearing bathrobes. In fact, I once was one. My bathrobe was striped green and blue, and I had a towel on my head as a turban. It was one of the most embarrassing moments of my life, and it was truly a Kodak moment. And from that experience in the bathrobe, I heard this guy in the pulpit reading something that sounded like this. And there were shepherds out in the flock, watching their flocks by night, out in the field, watching their flock. Very boring. But then I remembered that shepherd that I saw in Bethlehem, dancing, playing an instrument, singing. It made a big impression on me. I thought to myself, shepherding looks like such a boring job. I don't think I would like that job at all. And this guy was just making the best of it, having a good time. I loved it. Changed my image altogether. He was having fun, even though his job wasn't all that much fun. And I suspect that as he was out in the fields during the day, that he was trying to figure out how to use his time wisely. So he probably taught himself to play that little recorder, that little flute. And I think if I had to be out there, I would be bored to death. No Kindles, no iPads, pads, no iPhones. It would be awful. I probably would have taught myself to play an instrument as well. And I probably would have sung to myself where no one could hear. And I probably would have written little songs. And one of my songs probably would have sounded like this, "Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Or maybe it would have been, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Or my all-time hit, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Oh, that's right. Little David played on his harp, and he got there first. He was just a boy, but he was a card-carrying member of the Shepherd Union. And he knew all about filling that time, giving himself to the Lord, receiving from the Lord, writing those songs. There were some very famous shepherds that preceded David in the Bible. Abraham was a shepherd. Did you realize that? Moses was a shepherd. But David, he became one of the most famous shepherds of all. I suspect that was because he was a musician. a very noble profession and a very spiritual one. Right, Judy? Right, right. And David had some famous relatives who followed him. He was born in Bethlehem, and a little more than 1,000 years later, another shepherd was born in Bethlehem. He was David's most famous relative. And he described himself with these words. He said, "I am the good shepherd." In fact, David's most famous relative being born right where David was born in Bethlehem, and the first people who were told about this event were shepherds who were out in the same field where David was writing those hit tunes. And the angels came and they told shepherds what was happening. David was Israel's greatest king. His most famous relative, Jesus Christ, was mankind's greatest king. When David became the king of Israel, I imagine that his shepherding background came in handy because he had to deal with another dumb animal, people. If David could have mentored the future shepherds and the future kings, he would have taught them many things about what he had learned, but surely one of those things would be that sheep tend to wander away and they need to be disciplined. Why? Because they are so stupid. How stupid are they? You asked. You did ask, didn't you? They're so stupid that if sheep are walking down the road and the shepherd stands in front of the first sheep and takes his staff and puts it up in front of the legs of the shepherd, of the sheep, that sheep will jump over that staff. And then if he takes the stick away, the sheep behind him will also jump over the staff that's not there. And the sheep behind him and behind him, they'll all continue to jump because the person in front of them is doing it. That's the truth. They are blindly stupid. They move without thinking. David, as a mentor, would probably say to the future shepherds and the future kings that he had discovered that the people he governed also will jump over sticks that are not there. They would believe because others believed. They would dress and play and vote the way the ones did before them without thinking. I thought you'd like that, RB. I thought you'd like that statement. Of course, David's most famous relative probably would have said, "You're telling me this." He's looking at you and me right now. And he's saying, "Oh, you dumb, dumb sheep." Are there any shepherds here today? Well, let's think about that. My title is pastor. That means shepherd. So I'm supposed to be a shepherd. And look around. Are there any parents here today? Are there any grandparents here today? Are there any great-grandparents here today? You are shepherds. A good husband will shepherd a good wife. A good employer will shepherd a good employee. A teacher shepherds a student. An older brother or sister shepherds a younger brother or sister. Older men and women are supposed to shepherd younger men and women. This room is full of shepherds. Are there any sheep here today? Well, this room is full of sheep. And of course, they're all pretty dumb. Jesus said in John chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd." What is a good shepherd? What is a good shepherd? A good shepherd is one who knows the characteristics of each sheep. The good, the bad, the ugly, and loves you anyway. A good shepherd is one that can predict your behavior. A good shepherd is one who is at ease with you whenever he's with you. If you're a good shepherd, you don't mind bringing discipline when discipline is necessary in order to teach someone or to protect someone or warn someone. If one wayward sheep goes astray from the flock, the good shepherd will find that sheep and break its legs and hold that sheep over its shoulders and carry that sheep until the leg heals. When disease, injuries rear their ugly heads, the good shepherd becomes a nurse. Are there any nurses here today? Kiss it, make it better. That's shepherding. Put a bandage on it. That's shepherding. Does it need an ointment? That is shepherding. What is a good sheep? A good sheep is he or she who has a relationship with the shepherd. It's a person who recognizes the shepherd's voice. We heard that in the scripture. A person who hears and recognizes the shepherd's voice. And not only hears it and recognizes it, but follows it and obeys it. There was a tourist in Israel in Nazareth. And he saw a shepherd bring a flock of sheep to get some water by the well in Nazareth. And when the sheep had finished drinking the water, the shepherd called to them, and all the sheep turned around together, and they started following him away from the well. And the tourist went to the shepherd, and they said, I have a question for you. Do the sheep always follow you when you call them? And he said, yes, oh yes, they always, oh, except under one condition. If one of them is sick, it will not follow me. It will follow anyone. Of course, there are black sheep, and every family has them. I'm sure none of them are here in this room, but every family has them. We're all sinners, so any of us could be capable of being the black sheep of our family. Amen? It reminds me of a prominent family in Dallas, Texas. Their problem was Uncle George. Uncle George murdered someone and was sent to prison and was executed in the electric chair. They were embarrassed. They didn't want people to know, but they were told they needed to publish an obituary. They wanted to cover it up, so this is what they put in the paper. Our Uncle George occupied a chair of applied electronics at an important government institution. He was attached to his position by the strongest of ties, and his death came as a real shock. We, like sheep, have gone astray, and we want to cover it up. We want our obituaries to be positive. We don't want people to know. I just dread the day. I dread the day. I hope I'm dead when they're able to take the brain waves and put them on a screen above my head and everyone can see what I'm thinking all the time. I've heard this for decades. I've heard this fantasy for decades. I read about it in a magazine about 2 months ago. They said they're working on being able to turn brain waves into visuals. Oh my gosh, someday it may happen. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Jesus said in John 10, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Hallelujah. Jesus also said, I am the gate for the sheep. As the sheep are going into the holding pen at night, the shepherd stands at the gate, and as the sheep are coming through, the shepherd counts them and lays his hand on them. One, two, three. And the sheep come to know his voice. They come to know his touch. They come to know his comfort. If they didn't come to know his voice, if they didn't come to know him intimately, Then when he started warning them to get into the gate because the wolves are coming, they wouldn't listen to him. They need to know his voice. Do you know his voice? When he speaks to you, do you know that voice? Do you follow it? And do you obey it? He may be trying to spare you from disaster. A man was walking along the countryside, and he came upon a shepherd, and the shepherd was looking at the ground, and at his feet was a dead sheep. The man asked the shepherd what happened, and the shepherd very sadly said, I failed. I was distracted. A wild dog came and frightened all the sheep, and the sheep started running to the pen for safety, but the gate was closed. However, the sheep found a hole, and so the sheep started going through the hole, and they got to safety, all except this one, because this one was too fat. Sometimes abundance and provision prevent us from being able to go through the narrow gate. One day there was a shepherd who was trying to get the sheep to cross a stream. Did you know that sheep are afraid of water? They're afraid of moving water. That's why it says in Psalm 23, he leads me beside still, quiet waters. They're afraid of moving waters. He couldn't get them across. So he picked up a lamb, and he held the lamb carefully, and he started walking across the stream with the lamb in his arms, and the lamb, of course, started crying, bah, bah. And when they got to the other side, he gently laid the lamb on the other side because there was more grass on the other side. Only the dumb sheep didn't know that. But the mother heard her baby crying, and the mother put all fear aside. She didn't care about the moving water anymore. She bolted across that stream until she got to her crying lamb. And of course, all the other sheep followed her across. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ has crossed the stream. He has been across the river, the Jordan River. He has ascended into heaven, and he's over there saying, come. Someday all of us are going to be asked to cross that stream. It is not scary. We should not be afraid. We know his voice. He wants us there. And we have, many of us, taken loved ones, and we have placed them in the grave, and they have crossed that river, and we are going to be with those loved ones, and they're calling to us, and they're saying, come, where there's no more night, no more tears, no more sorrow, but there is a good shepherd. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Bethlehem a moment. King David was the most famous king that Israel had ever had. And his most famous relative was born there in a stable. And he was later to reveal to all mankind that he is the good shepherd. So God symbolically chose to have his son's miraculous birth announced not to the heads of state, not to the wealthy leaders of the community, not to the rabbis, but to poor, lowly servants. The singing, dancing, songwriting, sheep counting, string crossing shepherds. You know, if God had chosen to make this announcement to the theologians, they would have made a dash for their commentaries. If God had chosen to make this announcement to the leaders of the society, they would have to look around to see if anybody was watching their reaction. If God had chosen to make this announcement to the elected officials, they would have to consult their calendars and their constituents. So God went to shepherds, simple shepherds, servants who didn't have reputations to protect, who didn't have an economic ladder they were trying to climb, who didn't have enough snobbery to tell God that messiahs are not born in a stable and wrapped in rags. I want to close with a poem. It's written by Melva Roem. And it's from the heart of a shepherd. Listen. I was a shepherd on that star-filled night in Bethlehem. I thought of long ago. I thought of brave Naomi taking flight from Moab's land. Of Ruth, who chose to know a stranger's lot, a royal daughter she. Entreat me not to leave thee, she had said. Thy people shall be mine, so let it be. Humbly she gleaned the fields, and there she wed Boaz, and there she bore him a son. And from this line came David. In these hills he roamed and played and fought at last and won. Ah, memories, my heart with rapture fills, for here of David's family Christ was born, and alleluias rang from night to morn. Yes, I, a shepherd, on that holy night in Bethlehem, saw the bright whirling star shatter the darkness like a shaft of light, shedding great gleams of glory from afar. With fright, yet filled with dreams, I heard the song, "Come find the child." Joy overflowed the brim until I found I could not go along. So I sent instead a lamb to welcome him. Though mine shall be a humble walk for long, I shall not sorrow, for I saw the light. And I shall hear the glory of the song. My days shall always mark that one glorious night. They told me that the Blessed Mother smiled and that she placed my lamb beside her child. Ah, Bethlehem, my home, my house of bread, here let my body and my soul be fed. Let us pray. Great Father of us all, thank you for sending the Good Shepherd to touch us, to speak to us, to lead us and protect us, to anoint our heads with oil, to provide. Thank you for reminding us that you honor humility. Thank you for replacing the fear in those ancient shepherds with wonderful joy of the news of your birth. And may we join with them, with our knees bowed in your presence, to proclaim you as King of all kings, Lord of all lords, the Good Shepherd. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together as we sing.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for your provision. Thank you for the Good Shepherd. Thank you for protecting, healing, comforting, carrying us on your shoulders and providing everything that we need, all that we need, thy hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness. We dedicate now these gifts of love to you. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen. This is from Revelation 7. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. May he shepherd you, may he guide you, may he wipe away all your tears.